Let's go ahead and open our Bibles this morning to the book of Luke, in Luke chapter 2, Luke chapter 2. In Luke chapter 2, we're going to be taking a look at a passage here that is post-Christ's birth, and this is an important subject to cover, and it's a good doctrinal subject this morning. It's going to cover some doctrinal perspectives, but it's also going to cover some salvation perspectives. It's always difficult trying to figure out, okay, well, what are you going to preach post-Christmas? You know, many times churches have, they've got this plan about how they're going to preach certain messages throughout the year, and they kind of lead up to certain messages, and sometimes that in between Christmas and New Year's message, trying to figure out exactly how and what is going to get preached and so on and so forth. And many times it's about the new year that is coming and looking forward to what we're going to do in the new year and things of that nature. But what I wanted to focus on this morning was an individual that was given some divine revelation of God. And this man was a man of God. This man was, as the Bible shows, was a good man that had a desire to see some things, and the Lord had promised and had covenanted with him to show him some things that were to come. And I want you to see here that probably one of the most concise reasons and the concise manner in which Christ came was given by this man in the book of Luke. As we talked about in our Sunday evening service not too long ago, talked about how the book of Luke portrays Christ as man, his humanity, his mankind, that he had here while he was on earth. Obviously, we've talked about the other ones and what they represent in as far as how they portray Christ. But what we find is that the purpose behind why he would come here, why he would even do that in the first place. I mean, there's a lot of things that the Lord could do. And we sometimes speculate about what would be good and what would be the best way to do something or handle a certain situation. And sometimes we like to think we could do it better than the Lord. Amen. And we think that we've got a better plan, we've got a better idea that it should have been done this way, or it should have been done that way, or whatever it may be. But I will tell you this, the Lord revealed this plan to this man. And this revelation is recorded here in the book of Luke. And in Luke chapter 2, and in verse 22, it says, "And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him," that's Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. This is often where we get messages and ideas about baby dedication, by the way. And it says in verse 23, it says, "As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord." Now, again, that should kind of give you some idea about how important it is that that children are to the Lord. But we find in verse 24, it says, "And offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him." Now here he is, and he's very clearly got a connection with God. And what he's waiting for is he's waiting for that consolation. He's waiting for the comfort. He's waiting for the Messiah. Now, I want to say this very clearly. There were a lot of people in Israel that were waiting for something. They were waiting to see something. You know, as an example, you can go over there and during the crucifixion, you have Herod, Jesus Christ being sent to Herod, and Herod's sitting there, and he's like, "Ooh, I want to see a magic trick. You know, he's wanting to see some sort of supernatural miracle or something like that to entertain him. Not for belief's sake, but for flesh's sake. The nation of Israel, many of the scribes and Pharisees, yes, they were waiting for some sort of Messiah, but they were waiting for a kingdom for their own purpose. Not for God's purpose, not for God's plan, not for what God wanted. But it's listed here very differently about how here's Simeon waiting for the consolation. You know what a consolation is? It's a comfort. It's an encouragement. It's something that is brought to somebody that is meant to help them, to edify them, to build them up in the Lord. And we find that this consolation that he's waiting for is he's waiting for a person. You know, he's not waiting for an event. He's not waiting for something that is intangible. He's waiting for Jesus. And as we continue on here, it says in verse 26, "And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." That's a pretty cool thing. God says, you're not going to die till this happens. You know, a lot of us would probably like to have that. Then we'd be able to sit there and go, oh, okay, I've seen it now. Yeah, okay, now I'm ready to die type situation. But here he is given some special, you know, revelation to the Lord. This guy had a close relationship with God that God would say that to him. Simeon was a man of good character. Simeon was a man of God. Simeon was a man that loved the Lord and desired to see the things of God in his life. And we find in verse 27, it says, "And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed him and said," now imagine this, here you are, and sometimes this happens with, you know, young babies. You have a young baby and some stranger comes up and starts getting all excited about your baby, right? And you sometimes it kind of creeps you out. Sometimes it's like, get away. Move away, crazy man. Move away, crazy lady. You know? And here this guy is, and all of a sudden he just picks up the kid. He just picks up Jesus and holding him in his arms. And what does he do? He blesses God. Have you ever thought about that for a moment? Here's this man, Simeon, a man of God, a man with whom the Holy Ghost is upon and showing and leading him in certain things. And one of the first things that he does here is he blesses God. He's not blessing the child. He's blessing God. You know, our words in our life should be blessings to God. Have you ever thought about that? How do I bless God? Well, say then do the right thing. That's a blessing to God. And he says here in verse 29, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, to lighten, or a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thine people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of them. And Simon blessed them and said unto unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine its own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for this time. Thank you again, Lord, for all that you have given to us. And Lord, I just pray that as we focus on this passage this morning, that Lord, you'd give us some revelation from your word that would show the purpose of your coming. And Lord, again, I thank you for all that you have blessed us with. Thank you above all, Lord, that you did come, that you did give your life for us, that you did sacrifice and shed that precious blood on our behalf, that, Lord, we may have salvation through you and through you alone. I pray, Lord, this morning that our hearts would be humble, ready to receive what you have for us, attentive, ready to listen, ready to use this, Lord, to glorify you in all that we say and do. And these things I ask and pray in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. The first thing that I want to point out here that we find is that he very clearly sees that Jesus Christ has come for the purpose of salvation. You know, a lot of people think various different things about Jesus Christ. Like I said, there's a large number of believers that think Jesus Christ did somehow, some way sin here on earth. Well, if he did, then he would not be fit to be our Savior. He would not be fit to be that sacrifice for our sins. But what we do know is that he came very clearly for one purpose. And as Simeon points out, he points out, and just to kind of clarify here, he points out the whole plan of God right here in this passage. This man has been shown something in Scripture. Now look, we can see the whole plan right here. I mean, we have the plan cover to cover. We know the beginning and we know the end. We know exactly what's going to happen. I mean, that's one of the reasons why we really should not fear. And again, when fear does come, you know, we'll talk about this some other time, but when fear does come in our lives, we have a confidence in the Lord that we can find courage through the Word of God. Through the Word of God. But what we find is we've got this whole plan here. They didn't have that at that time. They had books and they had parchments and they had scrolls and they had things of that nature. And there was people that were dutifully copying it, the scribes. But again, it wasn't given to every common person that was out there. Not everybody had a copy of the Word of God. Not everybody had a copy, the entire copy. They may have had things that, as Scripture told them to do, to put it on the posts of their doors in their house and do things of that nature. And they may have had some verses here and there, some passages here and there, but they didn't have the whole thing. But Simeon clearly identifies and praises God and openly declares his plan. And the very first thing that he talks about is that Jesus Christ has come for salvation. Now we understand that the book of Matthew portrays him as king, but what we also find in the book of Matthew is that that king was rejected, but he also came in there as the king that was the Savior. And here we find that here he is in the flesh as man, coming as a Savior of not just the nation of Israel, but for all mankind. The book of Matthew has a lot to do with the nation of Israel and Jews. But here we are looking at the book of Luke, and not only does it have some things that deal with Jews, but it also has things that deal with Gentiles. I mean, look at what he says here in this passage, and he says in verse 30, "For my eyes have seen thy salvation." My eyes have seen thy salvation. Here he is in a doctrinal presence, a doctrinal principle, declaring that Jesus Christ is the salvation of God. That there he is, there's none other that is going to be the salvation. Who else is going to save Israel? Who else is going to save the Gentile? Who is it that can save mankind? Who is it that can save the world? We can't save ourselves. We just make things worse. Have you ever had that happen? You've got a situation, something's going on, somebody comes in and they think they know how to do it, they think they maybe have a little bit of knowledge, and then all of a sudden they make things 10 times worse. They destroy it. Whatever was there that could be kind of rebuilt is then completely, you know, torn down. That's mankind. We're great at destroying things. We excel at that. Whether we're talking about anything where, it involves war or anything else or relationships or anything God gives us, we're great at breaking it. Amen? Our dog Daisy, she had very powerful jaws. Whatever breed that she had in her was one where she could destroy any toy. And we went through a period of time where it was a slaughter. I mean, there was plush guts all over the place and squeakers and things like that and foam and stuffing and torn shreds of fabric everywhere, and she would destroy anything. We went into a store one time and we were asked a question about a certain toy, and the guy was like, "Oh yeah, that toy. No, it's gonna last. It's one of the most durable ones that's there." We had that thing no less than 24 hours, and she had already torn it in half. I mean, she was a tough dog. We come back in and like, "It's not that indestructible, dude." That's what we do. We're human beings. We destroy things. Here's Jesus Christ. Here's Simeon seeing this baby. And he sees the whole plan. He sees salvation. And salvation in Christ alone. He doesn't see him as a teacher. He doesn't see him as a prophet. He doesn't see him as a good man. He doesn't see him as some sort of motivational speaker. He sees him as the salvation that mankind needs. And when we think about that for a moment, the question to us is, have we seen Christ as our salvation? You know, many people go through this world and don't realize it. Now, for some of us, we grew up in church. Not everybody did here. Some of us came later. Some of us were saved older in life. Some of us were saved younger. But I will say this, sometimes you being born in a good godly home kind of is a bit of a pitfall. Because sometimes people just think they're saved. Because they're born into that home. They're not born into, some other homes that are clearly filled with sin, but they're born into a good home. And many times, those children that are raised up, it's taken for granted that they just simply, of course they're saved. Well, of course I'm saved. I mean, I've been in church my entire life. You know what Simeon didn't see? He didn't see the church. Right. He didn't see the church's salvation. He didn't see baptism as salvation. He didn't see giving offerings and tithes as salvation. He didn't see service in the church as salvation. He didn't see, I've lived a good life and I've been born into a Christian home and I know all the things of the Bible and I know the stories and I know about Adam and Eve and Abraham and David and Moses and Paul and the apostles and I know the Word of God. He didn't see that. He saw Jesus Christ as salvation. The question today have you seen Jesus Christ as your Savior? Don't take it for granted that here you are in church. That doesn't mean anything. I mean, we're all thankful that people are here, amen? Amen. But just because you're sitting here doesn't mean that you have salvation. You need to look at your life and you need to ask the question, have I seen Jesus Christ as my Savior? Do I know that I'm a sinner and I need salvation? Do I know that without Him I am on my way to a devil's hell? Do I know that without Him that I am lost in my sins? And understand that in the end of everything, there's a punishment that awaits for the rejection of Christ. Have you seen Him and said, "Lord, save me. Lord, I need your forgiveness. Lord, I claim your precious blood. Lord, I believe on what you have done for me. believe that you have given your life, that you came and gave it for mine, that I might have eternal life through you. If you've ever come to that point, and here's Simeon seeing all of that in Jesus Christ, the baby, the young child. He sees that. Have you seen that today? Thinking about something else that we see here, we see one thing that is very clear. We see in verse 31, it says, which thou hast prepared before the face of all thy people. I want you to notice something here that Simeon points out. And what points out is very important here. He says, Lord, you prepared the salvation. You prepared the salvation, not anyone else. Man didn't prepare it. Man didn't make this. Mankind didn't come up with this. This was something that was prepared by God. This salvation was ordained of God. This salvation was very clearly something that was there since the beginning of time. Go back over to the book of 2 Timothy. Go to 2 Timothy. Let's take a look at a couple of references here really quickly in the book of 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and in verse 9 it says, who hath saved us? Well, who is that? That's Jesus Christ. That's God. That's the Lord. Who hath saved us and called us unto a holy calling, not according to our works. Not according to our works. Anybody says, well, I've lived a good life, take them to this verse. Take them to this verse and show them. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. I mean, they may be a person that sits there and says, well, you know, I'm a pretty good person. I haven't killed somebody. Well, praise the Lord. Not everybody can say that, I guess. You know, there's a few of us in here that probably are like, yeah, okay. But I just very clearly, let's understand this. It's not by what we do. That's the way the Lord prepared salvation. Salvation isn't what you make it. Salvation is the way that God has made it. And he says, not according to our works, but according, a very important word, to his own purpose and grace. God's grace, not our grace. Our grace is limited, okay? Our grace is very limited. Go stand in line and have somebody cut in front of you. Find out how limited your grace is. And grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus. And I want you to see this before the world began. Before the world began. He mentions this again over in the book of Ephesians, that it was before the world began. He mentions it again over there in Titus chapter 1 and in verse 2. He says, again, it's before the world began. Peter mentions it in the his first epistle in chapter 1. In verse 3, verse 20, there we go. He mentions it again in verse 20, and he says, before the world began, before the world began, before the world began, before the foundations of this world were ever laid, God knew Christ was going to have to come and die for our sins. It was prepared by God. This is what God said, I'm going to do for mankind, and this will be the only means of salvation. I was talking to somebody one time, and I was discussing salvation with them, and they said, oh, well, there's other ways to get to heaven. It's like, just like, you know, here in Ridgefield, sometimes some of these places, you go to some of the more rural ones, you never know which door to knock on. You just go to the one that has the least amount of spider webs on it. Try to knock and figure out, okay, well, which is the front door and so on and so forth. There's other doors to get into houses. There's other means to get into houses. And he said, well, there's other ways to get into heaven. You know, there's other back doors that we can get in. And I'm like, no, Jesus Christ is the door. Yeah. The only door, okay? Yeah. He's the only way you're going to get in. And I said, furthermore, if somebody comes into my house through the back door, they're going to be greeted with quite the surprise. Because I don't want them there coming through the back door. You don't come through the back door if you're trying to enter, unless you're a thief. As Jesus Christ points out, the thief comes in some other way. Jesus Christ was the way that was prepared by God. The way that was prepared by God. Simeon sees that right here. Not only does he get to see the child, but he gets to see the entire plan. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit is leading him into this and showing him, hey, I want you to see everything here. And his eyes were completely opened to God's plan. To God's plan. I want you to take a look at another part. I've been going back over to Luke chapter 2 and look in verse 32. And he sees here that this salvation was not just meant for the Jew. You know, we go through and we take a look, and there's a lot of Jewish things that are mentioned in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And there's still some things over there in the book of John, but in the book of John, all of a sudden we find some different things. We find Greeks showing up and wanting to worship God. We find passages of scripture that says, like John 3:16, that it says the whole world, right? That it's not just one people. John the Baptist declaring that he's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world, not just Israel. But here he sees this plan and he sees that it's for salvation of mankind. In verse 32 it says, and to lighten the light, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. He sees right here that this salvation is not just limited to one specific group. That it's for all mankind. Because according, you know, during this period of time, God sees people only in, you know, at this point, one of two ways. Are you a Jew or are you a Gentile? Jesus, the way God sees us now is, are you believing or are you unbelieving? Because there's no difference between Jew and Greek. There's no difference between male and female. There's no difference between barbarian and Scythian or somebody that is bond or free, as Scripture says. Simeon sees the whole plan. A light that is to light the world, all mankind, that we find that parallels what we find over in John chapter 1, where he says, this is the light in Jesus Christ, to light all mankind. I want you to go over to the book of Acts in Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. We find, again, this being repeated in Acts chapter 13. We find the apostles kind of going around in Jerusalem and dealing with people that were Jews and seeing the church grow out of the Jewish communities. And then we start seeing other individuals coming in, such as an Ethiopian eunuch, and then it begins to spread. And as the gospel spreads, as they start to go out into the other places, as he told them and commanded them to do, and the uttermost part of the earth, we see other individuals coming in, and Gentiles, such as Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. And here we find in this passage in Acts chapter 13, I want us to go down here to verse 27. We find very clearly actually, hold on just one second here. That is wrong passage. Sorry, let's go over to Acts. Say again. 47? Is that the one I was looking for? Yes, it is. Thank you. Acts chapter 13, verse 47. And it says here, for so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. But this is for the Gentiles. Because the Jews began to reject it. But still today, a Jew can be saved. It's very difficult for them because of the blindness. But what we find is that the Lord is showing light to the Gentiles. The nation of Israel was supposed to be showing God to Gentiles, but they weren't doing it. They were showing how not to behave. with idolatry and all sorts of other debauchery that they were doing. Specifically, their own pride. Go over to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26, and in verse 23, it says here that Christ should suffer, and that he should be first to rise, should be the first that should rise from the dead and show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And here he is, Paul, giving these testimonies, saying these things, and what do we wind up finding is we find that the Lord is showing that that the salvation is given to all mankind. And you know what happens is Simeon sees this. Simeon sees this. And why is this important? Because I want to point out that even Peter had a problem with that. Remember when he was told to go to Cornelius and he was kind of kicking as he went? Even when he got there, he's like, I'm not supposed to be talking to you people. But Simeon sees that it was aligned to the Gentiles. This was even prophesied over there in the book of Isaiah over and over and over again. Several passages talking about how he is the light to lighten the Gentiles. You know, God has planned it from the very beginning, and he has prepared it from the very beginning that Jesus Christ would be salvation for all. For all. I want you to see something else here that you go back over to the book of Luke. We find that, as I said, there's going to be a dividing line. You know what he sees? He sees one of two things. You're either going to believe or you're not. In verse 34, and Simon blessed them and said unto his mother Mary, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising of many against Israel. You know what he's saying? He's saying not everybody's going to believe this. Not everybody's going to believe this. One day they will, but not everybody is. I mean, it's pretty clear when you go over to the book of John, and I want you to go over to John chapter 12 really quickly and take a look here. God makes it pretty clear in John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Why don't you take a look here at what he says in verse 6, or excuse me, 46. John 13, 46. For I am a light come into the world, just like what we saw, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in that last day. You know, Jesus Christ didn't come all judgmental. But he came and he said, you got a choice. You're going to believe or you're going to reject. And Simeon saw that. There's going to be a fall and there's going to be a rising in Israel. Some are going to believe and some are not. In this world today, you've got one of two choices. You're either going to believe Jesus Christ, who is God, came here in the flesh, died upon a cross for our sins, and shed his precious blood as an atonement for that, died, was buried, rose again the third day to conquer sin and conquer death. You're either going to believe that or you're not. And that's the choice. It's not believing about how good you are, and we found that that doesn't work. There's salvation in none other, because Simeon saw that it was only in Jesus Christ. It's not in the way that we make it, it's the way that God made it, according to what Simeon again saw. And here Simeon again sees kind of a sad part. He sees that people are going to either choose or they're going to reject. And when we look at that today, that is our choice, isn't it? We're either going to believe the Word of God or we're going to reject. Jesus Christ Himself says here that this Word is going to judge you. This Word is going to judge you. Don't you think that maybe you would want to know what this book says if you're going to be judged by it? Because ignorance is not an excuse. Ignorance is not an excuse. Ignorance is never a reason to sin. By the way, there is no justification of sin at all. There was one time I did get a traffic ticket for speeding up in Bellevue. And I just went to go pay the fine. That's what the officer said. He said, just go pay the fine. He said, go before the judge. The judge is probably going to charge you $67, and it's not even going to go against your on your record or anything. And you just pay it because it's the first, you got a clean driving record. He's like, should be no problem. You just got to go stand before the judge. I'm standing before the judge, and one of the bailiffs there, one of the court officers, is telling us, kind of giving us a little bit of a warning, saying, "Don't try to pull the wool over the judge's eyes." There was this individual that was there, and he was of a certain ethnicity, of Asian descent, and he's telling the bailiff there, and she's relaying this to that this happened that earlier that morning. That he was going to play the dumb foreigner card. Like he didn't understand and he was anticipating that this judge was going to have, some mercy on him that way. And the bailiff kind of looks at him and he goes, "All right, that's your defense, go for it." He goes in and he's standing there and he's getting ready to plead his case as, ignorance and, feigning certain things. And the judge is there. Judge is Japanese. So he realized really quickly he couldn't play the dumb foreigner card. And he wound up having to pay quite a substantial sum of money for his arrogance. But, you can't play dumb when it comes to the Word of God. Why? Because the Bible says it's written on our hearts. Yeah. We know what's right and we know what's wrong. And we know we have all sinned. We know that we can never be as good as God. We know that we can never be as holy as God, which is why He had to come for us. That was the purpose. I mean, that's what we think about during this time of year. And again, it's not just a time of gifts and family and things of that nature and joy just because of, we get or something of that nature. No, it is a time to remember the joy that we have knowing that we have Jesus Christ as our Savior, that He has come with a prepared plan so that we may have that salvation through Him. The question is whether we're going to receive it or reject it. Even Jesus Christ realized people were going to willingly reject. People have a choice. You have a choice today. If you've never seen the salvation of Jesus Christ, you've never trusted Him as your Lord and Savior, you've never called upon the name of the Lord and said, "Lord, I need You as my Savior." If you've never done that, you are rejecting Him. And the plea is receive Him today. Receive Him today. One other thing that I want to point out is, if you go back over to the book of Luke, in verse 35, Luke chapter 2, verse 35, where we were. He mentions that to Mary, she was going to have sorrow. And I will tell you this, there's always, when you start looking at the things of what Christ is about, we know that Christ came and He suffered. Mary suffered. She saw her own son nailed to the cross and was there at the cross. And it says in verse 35, yea, the sword shall pierce also through thine own soul also. But here He is, and I want you to see this last part, that the thought of many hearts may be revealed. As He's holding that child, Jesus Christ, in His hands, He realizes that that is the Word of God. They can discern the thoughts and the intents of the heart. How many times did Jesus Christ look past all the flesh, look past everything else, and look straight into the heart of a person and show them what their heart truly wants? In counseling sessions, I will tell you this. This book begins to reveal what people want in their life. It shows what their desires are. It shows truly where their heart is. Is their heart with Jesus? Is their heart with God? Is their heart something that they would desire the things of Him? Or is their heart rejecting? I'll tell you today, when we begin to realize the purpose of Christ's coming, it does reveal what your heart wants. Here's the salvation. Prepared by God, given to you for a choice. And now, your heart has to decide. What are you going to choose? Are you going to choose a salvation? Or are you going to try to choose your own path? Your own path will lead you nowhere. Your own path will lead you to a place of punishment. As Jesus Christ says, it'll lead you to a point where you stand before a judge and you'll be judged out of the books, as the Bible says. In Revelation. And I'll tell you right now, it's discerning your thoughts of your heart. Each one of us here needs to ask that question. You know, here we are closing out a year. We've had another year go. We've got another year coming. People ask, well, when's the Lord coming back? I don't know. It's like when you're riding in the car. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? And I'll tell you, we'll get there when we get there, right? We'll get there when we get there. He'll come when He'll come, all right? Till then, we focus on doing the work of the Lord. But I will tell you this. Don't be caught unbelieving. Don't be caught with a heart that is geared towards your own will and not the will of God. Simeon saw the whole plan laid out. The gospel presentation, if you will. In that just short period of time. And there's Joseph and Mary going, what is this? But Simeon had the Holy Spirit showing him the things of God revealed. His own word right there. And this morning, it is, like I said, a bit of a salvation message. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior?
Amen.
Don't go into the next year without it. Don't leave this building without knowing for sure that you have your sins forgiven by a Savior that loved you to come and die on a cross for you, to give of Himself. And Christian, today, when's the last time you sat there and thought about all those things? As you think back on your own salvation, you think back what God has saved you from, have you given glory to and praise to God? Have you let that discern the thoughts of your heart? Reveal it and show what your life is. The life that was paid for Christ, by Christ on the cross, that you are to live for Him. Are you living it of your own will? Or are you living it for God's will? What is the thought of your heart today? Let's stand for a word of prayer. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I don't want anyone looking around. But I want to offer this today. If you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, if there is something in your life that you realize is hindering you from trusting Him and accepting Him as your Savior, from receiving that salvation that God has so freely given, I say today that needs to be cast aside. Lay it at the foot of the cross and trust Christ as your Savior. If that's you here today and you need salvation, and I want each one of us to truly ask ourselves, am I saved? If you're not, I want you to come forward. I'll have somebody show you from the Word of God what it means to trust Christ as your Savior, what it means to have salvation, what it means to have eternal life. If those words are foreign to you and you don't even know what those mean, then I'd say you probably need to come and ask. In a moment, we're going to sing. Just come out of your seat and come. Believer, if you're here today and there's something that maybe there's a thought in your heart that you need to deal with, go back to that point of salvation. Jesus Christ, the way that God prepared, believe or reject. If you've believed, then you need to believe the whole counsel of the Word of God and trust Him. Seek Him. Deal with the conviction. Maybe you're one of the third here today. Maybe you don't have any of the conviction. But sit here today, stand here today, and praise God for the salvation that He's brought. And pray for others in this world that need that. And be a witness for Him, continuing to tell others about the Savior. Dear Heavenly Father, again, I thank You for the time. Thank You again, Lord, for all that You've given to us. Thank You above all for the salvation that You prepared. And Lord, pray You'd work in each person's heart this morning. And I ask and pray this in Your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.